Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, first to the 30% tariffs. This fresh threat, US President Donald Trump has sent the EU in a letter which blindsided officials who were working towards next month's deadline. The European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen has insisted the EU still wants to reach a deal, and yesterday delayed retaliation over separate US tariffs on steel and aluminium as a sign of goodwill. Now, the EU Trade Commissioner Maro Sefcovic, who has been leading negotiations for the bloc, said today that blanket tariffs of 30% would practically prohibit the future flow of trade from Europe to the United States. Let's get more on this now. And I'm joined firstly by Olaf Gill, spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire. Thanks for having me on.
Am I right in saying that people who were working on this deal with the States were blindsided by this letter from Donald Trump?
Not completely, Claire. We knew it was coming. They had given us some advance warning. We didn't know the precise timing. I myself was having a nice Saturday afternoon celebrating my brother-in-law's engagement when the news dropped. So thanks for that, Donald. Congrats to Harry and Elisa. But we did know it was coming. And the fact of the matter is this, Claire. Negotiations, the original deadline that the Americans imposed was the 9th of July, last Wednesday. We were in talks with the Americans, intensive, detailed talks at technical and political level right up to that. At that point, or just before, I can't even remember when it was now, President Trump extended this deadline to the 1st of August. And so, at that point, I guess the pressure was off a little bit to finalise an agreement in principle that we were looking for. But at the same time, we had advanced to a very substantial degree on a lot of different strands of the discussion. So, then the 30% threat came on Saturday. It doesn't substantially change our approach here, which is that given that we've made so much progress, we believe we can get something over the line before that August 1st deadline. But that requires the US to also, to show the same willingness.
So when you say you weren't blindsided by it, are you saying then that towards the end of last week, there were indications that this letter was coming?
What I'm saying to you is that we were given advance warning by the Americans that this was coming, which I suppose is, some degree of courtesy. But I mean, these are negotiations, different parties use different approaches in negotiations. Carrot and stick is a standard approach. I suppose you could interpret this 30% threat as the American stick. We also have a stick on the US side, and that is, or on the EU side rather, and that is the substantial rounds of countermeasures we've been preparing. They're there on the table and they're ready to be used if we need them. That is not at all our priority, as I've said, including on this show many times, Claire, that we absolutely want to avoid these tariffs. We believe it's a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. The US is our most important trade and investment partner. It accounts for 20% of all our exports. That's 3% of our GDP, and millions of jobs, not just here, but on the US side, depend on this trade relationship. So we believe, we should be doing everything we can to avoid this, and that's going to continue to be our approach.
Yeah, I mean, Maro Sefcovic saying this morning that it would practically prohibit the future flow of trade from Europe to the United States. Is that the general view?
Look, we really, really, really don't want to be trading with tariffs that high. It's not going to benefit anyone. I think it's important to add, and I believe Commissioner McGrath made this point very strongly earlier this morning on RTE, that, the upside to this unfortunate situation is that countries around the world are now lining up to make deals with the EU at a much accelerated pace than previously. So since the start of the year, we have either concluded political talks for deals or have launched talks with Switzerland, Mercosur, Mexico, India, UAE, yesterday Indonesia. We made a fresh start with the UK. We're making progress with Thailand. So all these things aren't happening by accident. In a world where you're dealing with this kind of turbulence and uncertainty, in a world where old trust-based partnerships might not necessarily be as reliable as before, people are looking to the EU as a reliable, trustworthy partner that plays by the rules.
Mm-hmm. And yet we see in the last few minutes that shares in European car makers have fallen now because of the Trump tariff announcement. So this is not, I mean, we can take him seriously or not, but it is having repercussions now in the real world, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have to take him seriously. The repercussions are perfectly serious, and that those points are being made very clearly to us by our member states and by our industry, who we consulted with yesterday in the ambassadorial configuration at Coreper, and the trade ministers are coming to Brussels today to talk to Commissioner Shevchukwu.
So, what's the point in carrying on with these negotiations? You know, from what I read this morning, 10% was on the table and you guys felt that you had that understanding with the Americans. And then he does this. So why engage with these guys when the president looks at it and goes, no, I'm not interested in that, I'm going to go with 30?
We need to stick to the plan now, Claire. We're in the most sensitive phase. We're now in the kind of the end game, if you like, and we need to keep calm and carry on.
What does he want, do you think?
That's a question for him. I'm not entirely sure. I know what we want is to avoid tariffs and to begin that process by putting in place an agreement in principle where we have some predictability and stability for our businesses that they're crying out for at the moment. And from there, we can look at different ways, sector by sector, to try and stabilise and rebalance the relationship.
Yeah, I was just reading this morning that some EU leaders feel that Europe has already offered too much. Is there more that Europe can and should offer to try and head off this 30%?
I'd be interested, Claire, if you could find an EU leader who said that on the record. I think you'll find that's not the case. And I think, as Commissioner McGrath also alluded to this morning, the high degree of unity among the EU, even up to now, has been our great strength. That will continue to be the case. We listen closely to our member states, who ultimately will determine what happens in this saga. And, depending on the signals we get, we will take the necessary action.
Mm-hmm. And just on the strategy then, you mentioned as well the instruments that you have at your disposal, but we always hear we're keeping them in reserve, we're not using them. Is there any sense that perhaps that strategy now should change and that Europe should be more aggressive here?
I think for the moment we're going to stick to the plan. I think for the moment we need to really focus on getting an agreed solution over the line. As I said, we were very close to doing so last week. We believe such an agreement is within reach. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll see that the alternative, the stick I mentioned, that is ready to go. We don't need to do anything more in that sense. If and when we need to deploy it, we can deploy it. But we don't feel we're at that stage yet.
But it is you have to concede it's very hard to negotiate with these people when the parameters keep changing, the dates keep changing. You went through it yourself there, and the percentages keep changing too.
Absolutely. All we can do is try to do our best for our countries, for our industries. I mean, I think the key point here is that we have been very clear and consistent in what we want, and we are going to continue to be so.
Mm-hmm. Is it your understanding that the deal that Howard Lutnick, the Commerce Secretary, took to Donald Trump wasn't acceptable to him? Is this why this happened?
I can't comment on what happens in the White House, Claire. All I can tell you is that we're working might and main to get a great deal on the table that will allow us to avoid the worst pain of tariffs and try and find new ways to build the EU-US trade relationship.
All you know is somebody came to you in or around Friday and said that this was on the cards coming over the weekend.
Like I said, we're in talks. Different, there'll be ups and downs in negotiations, but you have to keep your eyes firmly focused on the prize.
Olaf, thank you very much. Olaf Gill there, spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services. Now, other people to talk to on this. Richard Curran is with us, presenter of The Business on RTE Radio 1. And also here with me in studio, Simon McAllister, partner and co-head of EY Ireland's geopolitical strategy team. Richard, to start with you, and you heard Olaf there saying that all we can do is try to do our best in very difficult circumstances, though.
It is very difficult, yeah. And the letter that was sent through, regardless of how much advance notice they had or not, it sounds as if they had some, but it was still a bit of a surprise, I think, does mark an escalation. And, listening to Olaf there as well, it sort of very clearly gives the impression that you've two sides in this discussion that are operating on a very, very different basis. On the EU side, they love process. And once they got into these talks after the Liberation Day sort of fait accompli announcements, they got into talks, that kind of suits the EU because they're very good at that. They don't like messy and they like process. But they're on negotiating with an administration that sort of messy is the middle name. They quite like unpredictability and messiness. And as for process, so what on process?
There is none.
Things can change. Yeah, and the rules change all the time. The other thing is that by doing this additional threat, this sort of like, it's as if Donald Trump's book should have been called The Art of the Threat rather than The Art of the Deal. He's lobbing it in at a particular time in a process that escalates it. But in a way, it forces the EU to respond. Now, they had a series 21 billion euro of countermeasures ready to go to sort of countermeasure one set of US tariffs, and they were due to come into a force tomorrow. And it looks as if they've decided that they're going to postpone that and kick it further back. In the context of a negotiation, that is a response as well. So they can respond by saying, we're going to go in hard, we're going to change tack, or we're going to continue with a softer approach. In the context of a negotiation, that is a response. So what this threat does is it sort of forces the EU to respond and show their hand a little bit more. And I think it's very worrying. I think stock markets, for example, have probably overplayed this whole taco Trump idea that he always chickens out, so that regardless of what he says, they just sort of don't really see it as a threat. And I think there's a real risk that might be overplayed at this stage, because what this shows us is that he's very, very determined to get as much as he can on tariffs. He will use tariffs as a tool of foreign policy, regardless of deals or no deals. And I think that there's an unpredictability there. As you said, the key question is, what does Donald Trump want? And I'm not sure that the EU knows that. I'm not sure if people close to Donald Trump know that.
Well, I'll bring in Simon now on that point. And Simon, just to go back to what Maro Sefcovic, the EU Trade Commissioner, said this morning, he believes that 30% would practically prohibit the future flow of trade from Europe to the United States. Do you agree?
Well, in some sectors it probably would, but I think it's back to some of the points that have been made there, that it's unlikely that this is the destination. I mean, this is a threat, as Richard said. It is the style of President Trump and the White House that this is how they try and run their negotiations. This wasn't the only letter they've sent in the last week. They sent about 15 or 20 others. Most of them are threats. The EU one was actually notable that it didn't include a lot of other things. It was really just the tariff. And it said, if you impose any retaliatory tariffs, we'll add the 30% to those. Whereas Canada's letter had issues around fentanyl. The Brazilian letter had pulled in political things around President Bolsonaro. Mm-hmm. So, that is trying to muddy the water in respect of those negotiations. The EU is a separate negotiation. They're trying to apply as much pressure as they can. And it's unlikely that we will end up at this level.
But it goes from, when we hear about 10%, that's appeared to be manageable to a certain extent. 30% pushes this whole thing over the edge. That's the sense I get from what I'm seeing this morning.
It potentially does, but it's sector by sector. And don't forget, the impact is as much in the US as it is here. So every sector will have its own dynamics, existing profitability levels, how much of this could they absorb if they chose to absorb it? How much of it can they push on to the end consumer, which is the US consumer ultimately? And we're starting to see just little hints of that inflation and that price impact starting to come through as they work through stockpiles from the first part of the year. So it'll very much depend on where each sector and each company ends up in terms of how much of that tariff they pass through.
And what do you make of the EU response right throughout this? And now as we sit here this morning, and you heard Olaf there, we're not ready to use those instruments, but we don't need to do anything with them. They are ready to go should we need them. Do you think that's the right thing to do?
We can sort of see two approaches. I mean, I think the EU has largely taken a very much, let's stay calm, let's not overreact, let's not try and, let's not provoke the White House. I think that more or less has worked so far, because they've been, they've been not in the line of fire in the way other countries have. The other approach has been what China took, which was, you've put tariffs on us, we'll put more on you. And it just went on and on until they got to very, very high levels. And then it came back and they got to some sort of agreement on it. So I think so far the EU broadly has taken the correct approach. Identifying all those retaliatory packages that was alluded to there shows that they're ready to take action. So there's a bit of that, go back to the carrot and stick comment. The EU does have stick there and they're ready to use it. I think, it sounded like they were getting somewhere last week. So if it is the fact that behind the scenes they are in any way close, better to keep that in reserve and see if they can get to agreement before they do pull the trigger on those.
Right. So this move, Richard, from Donald Trump, do you believe it forces the EU to be more proactive now?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it's aiming to do. It's aiming to try and push things that bit further on and extract whatever concessions the White House administration feels that it can get. It puts additional pressure on getting a deal and securing a deal. And this seems to be in the context where the EU's opening position was they were looking for zero for zero tariffs. In recent weeks, as this has gone on, they appear to have agreed on a 10% figure, that that's something they could live with. And then it was a matter of getting a some sort of better deal on different sectors, similar to what the UK got. So that's a change in EU position. Perhaps Donald Trump feels that, well, let's just push it that bit further and try and get a deal done quickly and see if we can get even a bit more out of this. But there is also that sense of unpredictability in the wider picture, that you just don't know that any of these. I mean, it appears as if the White House, Donald Trump, enjoys the unpredictability and sees it as a sort of an advantage in pursuing. So he likes the uncertainty, whereas the EU hates the uncertainty. Businesses hate uncertainty. And I think he wants to use that to his advantage. And what this does is it prolongs that uncertainty. And I think that that's where it's tricky and it's dangerous. Mm-hmm.
OK, well, look, let's see what happens. As Olaf Gill told us earlier, they had an inkling before the weekend that this was due to happen before they got that letter on Saturday. So not completely out of the blue, but pretty much. And my thanks to Richard Curran and also to Simon McAllister, who's here with us from EY. Now, coming up next, what could have happened on that Air India plane as investigators find that the fuel supply was cut? Plus, a little later, Mairead McGuinness and Catherine Connolly are up for the fight, but who will join them in the election to be the next president?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.